Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Unpacking the Toolbox is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio.
I feel like we say this every single time we do a podcast, but it's true, like, sincerely, this episode. Like, I was sobbing last night watching
it. You were?
Yeah, like, I watched it twice.
What?
And both times I was sobbing.
Wait, I'm trying to remember. I watched it last night, too, and now I'm like, guys, when you're old and you fall asleep, I can't remember what I did last night. And I was sober.
Me neither,
like, I watched it completely sober. We always had a TV in our trailers at Scandals, right?
Mm-hmm.
I never turned mine on. Guillermo,
really,
Katie? Never. And you are such a, like, you need to have something in the background,
I
feel like.
Yeah.
So you had always I Love Lucy on.
Yeah.
Or maybe, like, Twilight Zone. Am I making that up?
No, you're right. That's exactly right. I would watch Twilight Zone. I would watch I Love Lucy. I would watch horror films. I'd bring DVDs. Remember DVDs?
DVDs?
And CDs.
The other thing that must be noted about your trailer, which was so cool, not only did you always have Twilight Zone or I Love Lucy on, but you always had, like, a fucking cool-ass lamp with, like, a blanket over it or something, so it was very mood lighting.
Did you remember that? Yes.
So your trailer always had, like, amazing sort of mood lighting. Like, regardless of the day, it was very Guillermo. Are you affected by light? Are you, like, a light person? Are you, like, it needs to be dim?
Yeah, it needs to be dim. It needs to be, like, a sort of an amber tone, like a reddish tone.
God, you must have walked into the, because the makeup trailer couldn't be more polar opposite of that.
Yes.
I mean, when you walk into a fucking hair and makeup trailer, it is like landing on the sun at an airport.
Yeah.
I mean, it's supposed to be all this great mirror lighting so that they can really do a good job doing your makeup. But I always felt like the lighting was so aggressive.
It's so aggressive, so hostile. So wait, what did you do last night?
Okay, last night was one of these insanely stupid and annoying but also kind of fun mom situations where we had a 4 p.m. birthday party at Sky Zone Trampoline Park.
Oh, shit.
And I took both my kids by myself to an indoor trampoline park where you're just bouncing and peeing everywhere because I've had two children.
Wait, did you get in the trampoline as well? Did you get on?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
I fucking jump all over that shit. I'm like, let's go. I put on an extra special bra for it so that I wasn't scaring the peoples. And then I only peed a little bit, which was a huge win because I used to. Once you've had two children, all of you mommy gladiators who are out there listening, two vaginal births means that they're,
like, it's hard to control.
Yes, that there's there's been some blowouts that have happened down there. And you better be working them Kegels and all that to hold in the pee-pees. But it was lovely, and the kids had the best time ever. And you know what was cute? The girl whose birthday it was is 7, and she's a tough little cookie. Like, she likes to battle and fight, and she does Pokemon battles with my son. They're like, Arceus, V-Star, blast in your face!
Oh,
like, and they're
shit.
Just, like, crazy battling. And Albie said to me on the way home, Mommy, I think I know who I want to marry. Which, like, where does he get this shit? Like, I don't talk to him about marriage. This must be in fucking Disney movies or some shit. But he's just like, I want to marry Charlie. She's so cute and so beautiful. And she's 7 and she's tough as fucking nails. But I'm not so convinced that Charlie will like boys. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've already discovered that my son, he likes the ladies.
Yeah.
And it bums
and it's
me
funny,
out.
It bummed you out. I love it.
When women are running by in sports bras.
Is he like, do his eyes pop out like in the cartoons?
Oh, yeah. He's like, mommy, what's that? Like, why don't they have clothes on? Like, mommy, what are they wearing? Like, what is that? Like, he's into it. And
oh,
I'm like, one time
shit.
We were at a wine tasting and there was like a very, like a woman there wearing a very risque thing. She was hot as shit and she had long blonde hair. And my son was like, I'd like to go play with her.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
and I'm like,
shit.
Fucking shit. He's totally straight.
I love him.
I mean, did you know that you loved little... I mean, when did you know?
Yeah, Katie. Well, that's... I was going to say earlier, I was in kindergarten.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember being in kindergarten
exactly.
even before
exactly.
that and being like...
Yes.
Attracted to other little boys, like, you know, like whatever age a straight person knew, like whatever age you were, if it was, you know, 5 or 7, that's the
yes.
same thing for a gay person. You know what
absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely. And you can see it, like,
yeah.
I mean, obviously
oh, yeah.
he's already making comments like, I want to marry this girl. So
yeah.
he doesn't understand like, oh, I'm having like
feelings like he's
about
having
this
feelings.
Girl,
yeah.
But he 100%
yeah.
is.
Mm-hmm.
This episode, we may or may not have an incredible guest. And this person, little tidbit fun fact, I've worked with twice.
Oh, I was going to ask you about that because I found that when I did my research.
She's fucking unbelievable.
Ugh.
And she may or may not be part of our scandal body count.
Unfortunately.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
And she's got one of the fucking coolest voices I have ever Ugh. Heard.
Yes, it just rumbles. Yeah, I love it. It's so good. It's so powerful.
We're going to have to ask this person, is it because they smoked a lot as a youngin?
Right. Or is that just the way it's always been? Yeah.
I don't know.
Who knows? I've always been jealous of raspy voices like that.
Me too.
Like special voices. Like Daphne Rubin Vega has a very specific, like special voice. Yeah.
That ability to just really grumble. Well, this actress has it 10 million
Oof.
Fold. She is so...
Like butter. She's like butter.
Like butter. And this episode, she absolutely kills. And she was part of the Scandal family. Was she in season 1, 2?
Whenever we see the, like, Melly and Olivia.
The
and
goons.
The goons, yeah. Doing the whole Cytron hoodlywink.
Yep. Rigging. But we are talking about the one, the only, Deborah Mooney.
Yeah.
We got her, folks. We got her on Unpacking the Toolbox.
Deborah Mooney has been in a lot of iconic shows and movies.
She
like,
has?
Yes. I mean, you can't even imagine. She was in a movie, one of my favorite movies called Tootsie. Do you remember Tootsie with Dustin Hoffman?
Dustin Hoffman, a fucking classic. Who did she play in Tootsie?
She played a character named Mrs. Mallory. You have to go back and watch it. Dustin Hoffman is brilliant in that film. I mean, Terry Garr, Deborah Mooney is in it. And she was also in Dead Poets Society with Robin Williams.
I love Dead Poets Society.
Can you believe
Society.
That?
No, and we need to ask her about it. Also, Deborah Mooney, so fucking pretty.
Like, yeah, she's beautiful, yeah.
I can't even. When she dies, R.I.P. Verna, she is laying back in her casket. I was watching, and I was like, my
gorgeous,
God,
yeah.
this woman is fucking gorgeous. Her hair, her eye color, and then she's got that rumbly-ass voice.
That raspy voice.
Deborah
Mooney is here, you guys.
Hi.
Verna.
That voice, that face, our one and only Verna Thornton.
Verna Thornton.
And we have just gotten to the episode where Verna so sadly and so horrifically is murdered by the hands of the president himself.
Who would have thought? I mean, really.
Yes.
Verna, can you take us through? Do you remember how you got the part?
No, I think they just called me and asked me if I wanted
to
do it.
So it was just a straight offer.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Well, I mean, Deborah, you've done like 1,000,010 things. You were in Seinfeld. You did an episode of Ellen. You were in Domestic Disturbance, Will and Grace, Anastasia, Touched by an Angel. Like, I could go on and on and on.
I know.
Did you always want to be an actor?
Yeah, I think so. Isn't it funny? I mean, I grew up in a teensy town in North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
I am the only one that became an actor.
How did you get the idea? Like, were you acting as a little kid?
That's what I wonder sometimes. Because as a little kid, I mean, I used to perform for the neighbors. They had an entrance to their living room. It was a double door, you know. So that was my stage. And they all sat on the couch. And I held the dog and saying, "How much is that doggy in the window?"
That is funny.
And they loved it.
Did your parents always encourage you to continue like performing?
No. I don't think they thought I was going to be an actress at all.
Really?
No. That was just something, you know. Oh, my cat sounds like he's got a hairball. Sorry, wouldn't you know?
Oh, we'll take the cat with the hairball. We love real life stuff, Deborah Mooney. How did you find yourself in Los Angeles, or did you?
I came out here to see my daughter. I was acting in New York. I went to the University of Minnesota and got an MFA in acting. And my mentor there was Charles Nolte. He directed a production of Streetcar. And Tennessee came to see it.
What?
Whoa.
Were you in this production, Deborah? You were in the production?
I was Blanche.
Oh, my God.
I was playing Blanche. Tennessee came to see it and decided I was his favorite Blanche Dubois.
Are you kidding me, Deborah? Oh, my God.
Did you never hear that story? I never told you?
No. I am obsessed with Streetcar Named Desire.
And so he wrote about me in the New York Times. You can look up.
Wow.
I think if you Google Deborah Mooney, Tennessee Williams in the New York Times, it will come up.
I'm going to do that. Oh, my God.
I have the article right now. We're going to need to link to it when this episode comes out. March 4th, 1973.
Well, we don't need to say that, do we? Darling.
I mean, this is unbelievable.
What an iconic role
God,
for you
Stella,
to have played.
Stella for Starlight.
Stella for Star. Yeah.
God, oh my God. What I would have paid to see you do that part, I'm sure. I'm just so impressed at the longevity of the life of an actor. You know, when we get to be around somebody who has worked in theater, television, film for decades, and a lot of people don't get that. Like a lot of people.
I know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It does, sadly, for whatever reason, either dry up or they make a different choice or whatever it is. But it's so impressive. How did you come into the Shondaland family? Was your first?
Well, I think Shonda must have liked Everwood. Because so many of us have been called.
Yeah, it's Tom Amandes.
That's right.
Tom Amandes, who plays Governor Reston. April, Sarah Drew was a lead doctor on Grey's Anatomy for years.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think if Shonda says, "That's who I want,"
I think they just
call you. I don't think you audition.
You are just a marvel in this role, and it's such a... You know, we've been watching all these episodes back, Katie and I, to do this podcast, and it's such a pleasure watching you work. It is so entertaining and so satisfying. You're so remarkable in this role. You're just so, so good, Deborah, so good.
Oh, thank you.
Did you know when you got the role that it was going to be an arc?
No, I did not know that. I didn't have any idea what it was going to be, you know?
We'll be right back, guys.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back. Plus, no payments for 90 days. And take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
How do you have the most, I want to know, iconic voice? Were you always raspy, or is it from just years of theater and smoking at the Equity breaks?
I sang tenor in high school.
So you've always had a low voice.
I've always had a low voice, yeah. In the choir, it was I was in the tenor section, you know. I got to be with the boys.
Yeah.
And I've been lucky enough to work with you twice because you also played the judge in Inventing Anna.
Correct.
And I was so grateful to you because in Rachel Deloach Williams scenes that we got to do, which was the week before shutdown in 2020.
That's right.
I had to be on the stand crying and crying and crying. And I just had like Deborah Mooney right to my left with her gavel and her judge's gown, just holding down the court. But my God, Shonda, and rightfully so. I mean, she loves you. You are a staple in the Shondaland family.
Well, I love working for her and with her. I think she is so remarkable. I think of her all the time. And I think how many people she gives work to.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. She's amazing.
Yeah, and she's super loyal to the people that she's worked with, and she, you know, respects their work and their work ethic, and she brings them back. She keeps them in her world, in her circle.
Yeah, yeah. My late husband was a producer of Theater of the Spoken Word, and what he loved was companies, building a company. And so, to me, Shonda was a perfect follow-up to what I'd been in with Circle Rep and having a company, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did it feel so like theater to you when you came on the set of Scandal? You know, the Scandal pace and having to be word perfect and say things very fast. Did it feel like all of your theater training, you called upon that a lot?
I guess. I mean, it just seemed that's the style of the show. That's what we do, you know?
Yeah.
You have to be careful. You're not playing the style rather than the show. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying? If you're doing a farce, you're still that character, and you still want to play the role, not the farce. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
The character is what's important.
Mm-hmm. Totally. How did it feel when you found out, as scripts kept coming, were you so like, oh my God, this is what I'm doing? Like, we rigged an election. I'm nominated to the Supreme Court. Were you just flabbergasted at your storyline?
There was an episode in her office, in her boardroom. I kind of thought, whoa, I think maybe I have something to do with all this, you know?
Yeah.
Like, maybe I'm the one, you know?
You started to think, oh shit, is Verna the person who is responsible for hiring Becky to assassinate the president?
Yes, ooh, yes.
Verna? Really?
So juicy.
How did they fit your glorious hair underneath the bald cap and get it to look so good.
The first time it took 6 hours.
What? Oh,
yeah,
my God.
I went there at like 3 in the morning.
What?
They got it down to like 4.
Did that help you get into character even more, Deborah, being having that bald head and just everything that she was going through and having you had your oxygen mask and the tubes? Like, I'm sure all of that sort of helped.
Yeah, it certainly made me feel kind of frail. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, watching you take breaths from that oxygen mask, it's heartbreaking in this particular episode that we're talking about today.
Vice versa, the other side of Verna Thornton, too. I mean, I love that we're watching a woman who is deteriorating in front of our very eyes. You have a very terminal illness that is taking over quick. You know, we see the flashbacks to the scenes where you tell your doctor, I'm being put on the bench tomorrow, and how long do I have? And he says a year, maybe two.
Mm-hmm.
And we watch this all happen so quickly. But the other side of it is how amazing Verna Thornton looked in all of her suits and your hair all blown out when you're like sitting at the table in Air Force One and you all are making the decision to rig the election, you and Hollis and Melly and Olivia. How powerful she was and how like
strong.
I'm ready to do a deal with the devil to get my seat. You know, that was the most important thing for your career to culminate into a Supreme Court justice.
I just loved playing Verna Thornton. I really did. I was so sorry when she was going to get killed off. I just hated to lose her, but it was quite a spectacular death too. So
it was a great death and a great run.
Do you remember all of us hanging out at Jeff Perry and Linda Lowy's house?
Sure.
When we watched.
I went to one of them and then I thought, I don't think I can watch that with other people. I think I better watch it at home.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember the one that you were at. We had such a great time, but I remember you and all of us being so sad and so emotional that you were going to be, you know, that your character was being killed off in the next episode. Yeah. Do you remember that? And we were all like, but it was such a wonderful like gathering. We all got to spend time together and it was just lovely.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, it was such a pleasant group of people to be with, wasn't it?
It was a great troop. It was a great ensemble of a lot of theater actors.
Yeah.
Well, and it was a kind of special time. I thought it was a special time in the second season because I was new to it the second season, but the other people that had been working together were beginning to know each other. And there were those of us that were coming in for the first time in this season. And so it was still finding its way. And yet there was enough of having known each other that there was a solidity about it.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's a real special time when you get to do not the first, maybe, but early on in a series.
Yes.
And the show was getting successful. Like the second season, like you said.
Yeah, it was a very exciting time, I thought.
It was, yeah.
It totally was.
Had you watched the show before you were cast in it?
No, I hadn't seen it. I don't watch a lot of television. I was busy doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Working.
Because that was a real busy time.
I think sometimes when I've done TV shows that I haven't watched, my work is better. Because if I've seen the show, then I get sort of, you know,
an idea of what it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Especially if I like the if I end up loving the show, then I put this pressure on myself. So I like when I haven't seen it and then I, you know, jump in and do my work and do my best. Yeah.
Yeah. And like as part of the response to your question about getting into the speed and everything like that, I wasn't worried about it, intimidated or anything, because I didn't know that that's what happened.
Right. You were just paced up already.
Oh, I'm going to have to be real fast. No, I wasn't worried about it. I didn't know.
Wow. We are so lucky to have Verna Thornton, the one and only Deborah Moody, on today's episode. We are talking about episode 213, which was called Nobody Likes Babies. And it aired on February 7th of 2013.
And it was written by Mark Wilding and directed by the Tom Verica.
Oh my goodness, I had no idea Tom Verica directed this episode. It is guest starring Deborah Mooney as Verna Thornton, Susan Porfar as Becky Flynn, Dan Bukatinski as James Novak, George Newbern as Charlie, Greg Henry as Hollis Doyle.
Norm Lewis as Senator Edison Davis, Brenda Song as Alyssa, Sam McMurray as the U.S. Attorney Pat Wexler, Samantha Sloyan as Janine, and Cullen Douglas as Steve Dougherty.
And just to jog you all about what happens, and then we got to talk to our very own Verna Thornton before she leaves the show about her epic, epic death and destruction and how she done gone crazy on this plot line. Synopsis for this episode. When the truth comes out that Verna was the one who hired Becky, Olivia, still reeling from the betrayal, rallies the team to steal David Rosen's evidence in the looming Defiance case.
The pressure is on as Verna dies suddenly and James is subpoenaed to appear in court. In two last-ditch efforts, Abby professes her love to David and Cyrus considers having James murdered before he can testify. Fortunately, James lies on the stand and Abby manages to steal the Defiance evidence, even if it costs her the relationship with David.
Then, during Verna's funeral, Fitz ices out Olivia as we learn what really happened in the hospital. Verna confessed about Defiance, and Fitz killed her to prevent her from going public. This episode is so freaking epic. It's
beyond
insane.
Epic. The fact that that we see Fitz, the president, kill another character on the show was just mind-blowing. It's one of the first times that I thought, okay, this show, it's a whole thing on its own. Like, it takes risk, and Shonda is not afraid to go there. Like, I was completely floored when this happened, like, when I read this, right?
Deborah, do you remember shooting the scenes in this episode that you had when your character has called in David Rosen to tell him that the election was rigged, but first your character calls in the president because you said you wanted him to hear it from Verna first.
Right.
What the hell was that like to shoot?
Well, it was pretty incredible. I mean, it all felt very real that she would have the conscience weigh on her and would decide to come clean and that she would let him know first. It makes sense to me.
How was it working with Tony Goldwyn? Was that a thrill?
Loved it. I just love Tony. I mean, how can you believe he up and kills me? I mean, really?
I know.
And he holds your arms down. Ugh. It's so awful.
I help get him elected. I mean, come on.
Yes.
Ingrate.
Yeah, but then you did try to get him assassinated.
Well, there is that too. Well, you know.
This episode is so full. I mean, besides the incredible Verna stuff, this episode also has in it this huge, epic, one of my favorite all-time scandal scenes of all time, is a scene between Dan Bukatinski and Jeff Perry. And they both have this huge argument where James is asking Cyrus, did you rig the election? I've been subpoenaed and I'm supposed to testify and I need to know, did you or didn't you? And Cyrus says, take off all your clothes. How am I supposed to know if you're not bugged, if you don't have a mic on you?
Which, Katie, right. Did you notice he says, take off your clothes, which is a throwback to when Fitz says to Olivia, take off your clothes. But obviously this is a completely different context.
And so James takes off all of his clothes and then he says, you take off your clothes. Like, I don't know if you're mic'd. And so they have this epically long 5-minute, 12-page one act that they're both naked, where Cyrus admits and says, I was never going to be president. I'm not pretty enough. I like boys.
I'm short.
And I don't have the right things to make up of a president. But this is the closest I was ever going to get, that I could be the second best, that I would be able to sway some things in the White House, that I would be the chief of staff. And so I did. I stole the election. It's an amazing scene. And so beautifully acted by both actors, and one of my all-time favorite acting scenes.
Oh, same. Another super, super, like, epic scenes was a scene where that you have with Olivia, with Kerry Washington. Deborah, how was it working with Kerry? Had you met Kerry before?
No, I just loved her.
Oh, you two had a chemistry in the relationship between Olivia and Verna.
I really just adored her from the time I met her. She's the beautiful woman, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
But the history, you two created this incredible history.
It was effortless.
It seemed like you two had been in each other's corners for a long time.
Yeah.
Respected the hell out of each other for a long time. Like, even in the beginning of this season, no one else knows that Verna Thornton's sick. And Olivia Pope is the only one that comes and, like, sits with you in the hospital while you're getting your chemo treatment. And she turns off her phone, which she never does.
Right.
And there are so many times where Verna gives Olivia Pope advice inadvertently, you know, about, like, that she listened to you. Olivia listened to you.
But this in this scene in particular, when she goes to confront you about, because she figures out with OPA that you have paid Becky to assassinate the president, that scene is just so powerful. But then we also learn that Verna was doing it ultimately for the good of the country. Do you know what I mean?
Correct.
She's like, well, if I killed him, then the country will then reelect a president that will be rightly, you know, elected.
Just.
Exactly. Yeah. So, of course, she decided to kill the president, but she was doing it for the good of the country. Such a powerful scene. And when Olivia's hearing you say those things, and at the end you say something to her, you say, chin up, Olivia. It's not like I'm getting away with it. You know, obviously she's on her way out of this world. Oh, it was just heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Man, Deborah Mooney, you had us in the palm of your hands. The other part of this episode I have to mention... There's a few. There's the huge Cyrus James naked fight. There's the presidential murder of Verna Thornton. And then the third for me is that Abby, played by Darby Stanchfield, goes, and even though she's in love with David Rosen, she says, I love you, has sex with him. And when he leaves to go to the court for the day, she does end up breaking into his safe and stealing the only evidence he has that the election was rigged. He has the Citron card. And he comes back to OPA at the end and says, Abby Whelan, you took the card. You took the card. She's like, I did it. I did it. And he's like, you tricked me. You said I loved you. And she says, I do. I do love you, David. And he basically, like, I'm never speaking to you again. I hate you. He storms out and Abby just starts breaking down and says, like, I did it. I did get the card. And you see that Abby chose to be a gladiator at OPA versus being with the love of her life. Yeah. She makes a massive sacrifice to Olivia.
They were good, strong stories, weren't they?
God, Deborah, it's insane. Like, all the stuff we're talking about happened in one 42-minute episode.
Yeah.
Wow.
We will be back with more after the break.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Do you remember, Deborah, in previous episodes where you give Kate Burton's character, Sally Langston, Huck's name, saying that Huck is the one that is responsible for killing the president? Do you remember that?
Yes.
And then Huck gets waterboarded. I was always so bummed that I didn't get to act with you in person. I mean, we, you know, our characters interacted, but...
I am too. I would have loved that.
Ugh.
when you shot your last take as Verna, what were the feelings? What was the emotion?
Well, there's certainly a sadness about the character, but there's a, also I think I felt like it had been a story well told. I had enjoyed doing it. The scripts were good, and there's such a satisfaction in getting to do something like that.
And that it's going to live on, right? I mean, it's going to live on forever.
Yeah.
People are rewatching the show now on Hulu and just sort of getting reintroduced. And some people are watching it for the first time. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, Verna's going to live on forever.
Yeah.
Verna, how was it shooting that scene where you had to be in the coffin? That was so unsettling.
Because at the end of this episode, the very end of this episode, Carrie comes in and says, I did it.
The church.
I've given Edison back the ring. I've called off the engage. I don't want to be with him, and I will wait for you, Fitz. In the beginning of the episode, Fitz says to Olivia, I'm leaving Melly. It might take a minute. It might be dirty, but I'm done. Will you wait for me? Will you wait for me? And at the end of the episode, at your funeral, she goes up to him and she says, I did it, Fitz, and I will. I've decided, like, I will wait for you. And Fitz says, now that he knows that you all rigged the election, he says, never mind. No, it's one thing to sleep with your mistress. It's another thing to marry her. He gives like a really low, horrible, fucked up blow. And Olivia's just devastated because she feels so vulnerable and she finally made a choice. And then he gets up and gives your eulogy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
Which is over you in this casket. And you look fierce as hell. Like I was saying before you came on, I'm like,
so beautiful. Yeah.
Your hair had the most glorious blowout. Your makeup looked amazing. I don't know what glorious suit Lynn Paolo put you in, but you looked incredible.
I loved that suit that I wore. It was gorgeous.
Did you get to keep anything from set?
No, I didn't really. There was a black skirt that I wore that I loved. I did go and find it.
Good.
Yeah.
And so that scene where we see Verna in the coffin is sort of, we're jumping from that scene to the president. And then we finally see that Fitz kills Verna. And we're going back and forth from him talking to you and you telling him that you guys rigged the election. And it's so powerful because there he is giving your eulogy. And at the same time, we're seeing him like murder you.
He's just lying. He's saying like all these loving, funny, amazing things about Verna.
I thought that was a brilliant writing, really, because his eulogy is so, when you know the truth, is just so incredible that he could say those things.
Yeah.
Did you ever fall asleep in the casket?
No, I said, now, it'll be half closed and half open. Is that right? I asked before I went up there, and they said yes. And I said, which half? Hey, she's got great legs. No.
Yeah.
I knew I was going to have some room. And I knew nobody's going to be coming up and talking to me because they're all out there. And
in the pews.
The casket was up on a thing. And I'm not going to have any visitors. So I took my crossword puzzle, my New York Times crossword puzzle.
I
took all kinds of activities. I have an activity bag that I take with me when I go to work.
I love that, Deborah.
And so I had lots of activities that I could choose from. And in fact, the cameraman at one point said something about, have you got a hamburger in there? I said, yeah, you want fries?
That's so funny, Deborah. So you could just hide it in the casket.
I had also because I didn't want to, like you said, I'm in a casket. No.
Yeah, you didn't want to think about it too much.
Yeah. I mean, Verna isn't thinking about it.
Right. Deborah, I do this thing on the podcast where I'm obsessed with horror movies. And when I looked your work up, I saw that you did an episode of Tales from the Crypt.
Yes. I had a hatchet in my head.
Oh, my God. You played a character named Ellen. And Tales from the Crypt, it was one of my favorite shows. It was like an anthology show.
Do you remember that show?
Yes, of course. Do you remember that experience, what that was like?
Oh, gosh, yes. First of all, I'm a bit claustrophobic, quite claustrophobic. And I had to go out to this place, I forget where it was, a ways away, and they cover you totally to make the
a cast of your face, right?
A cast of your face so that they can bury the hatchet, as it were.
Exactly, yeah.
That really was terrifying. And so there was that to deal with it. And then the day of, my parents were in town and they came with me and they got me all into costume and da da da. And they got the whole thing on with the hatchet, which was heavy.
Yeah, right in your forehead. Yeah.
And then they called lunch.
No. Oh my God. No! I hate when that.
I had to go across the street and eat at a Chinese restaurant with a hatchet in my head. And I had to hold it like this because it was heavy, you know?
Oh my God.
So I had to sit at the table and hold it with my parents.
Oh my God. I love that story, Deborah.
That's so funny, Deborah. Okay, so a couple things. One, we got a body count edition Verna Thornton. We've had Gideon Wallace got stabbed in the neck with scissors. Amanda Tanner was killed via injection and then dropped in the Potomac. Now Deborah Mooney was murdered by the president himself through, I guess, asphyxiation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we are adding Verna Thornton as our third member of the Scandal podcast body count. And another fun fact, this is why this episode is so incredible. When Scandal was renewed for a second season, the network ABC only ordered 13 episodes. This episode was originally meant to be the season finale. But after receiving high ratings within the first few episodes of the season, ABC quickly ordered a full 22-episode season.
Oh.
But this episode feels like
a finale.
It feels like.
I didn't know that.
It feels cliffhangers and wrapping up of intense things. And it's jam-packed. And it's just amazing. Now,
Tweets of the time.
With the one and only Deborah Mooney. Oh, we have a whole like thing going on. Now we're doing
like picture meme,
like
thing.
Pictures of Beyonce just saying, "Olivia, girl, I need help." They sang, I lip synced. Oh, somebody at the time must have been accusing Beyonce of lip syncing, which I don't remember what was happening.
I don't either.
There was a lot of obvious problems at the time of this episode coming out that Beyonce was being accused of lip syncing. Oh, I think the national anthem, if I remember.
That's what I was wondering. I think it might have been the national anthem.
Oh, wow.
And then a lot of people are tweeting pictures in response that Olivia Pope is saying, it's handled, bae, all to Beyonce.
And then thanks, girl.
At Maya LaShawn tweeted, am I the only woman who does not watch Scandal? Hashtag, and won't be. Hashtag, guard your heart. Hashtag, Olivia Pope is nothing like Judy Smith.
Wow. Okay,
whoa,
girl.
She's
tweeting with us. Why are you tweeting with us then? Listen, can I just say real quick, if I was tweeting right now during this time, I would have tweeted that Deborah Mooney was in a production of Streetcar Named Desire as Blanche DuBois and Tennessee Williams was there in person. Like, my mind
is blown. And said she was the greatest Blanche of all the Blanches.
Deborah, I'm going to go to bed with such a huge smile on my face and just, that makes me so, so happy. What an incredible experience.
It certainly was.
Ugh.
We are so lucky to have you on Unpacking the Toolbox. Mm-hmm. And the Gladiators were so lucky that you were our Verna Thornton because the second season is really when the show took off and when the ratings came and Scandal became what it is. And I am convinced wholeheartedly that is so much in part because of you and your performance and your portrayal on this part.
Sweetheart, thank you.
I'm obsessed with you.
Well, come on over. Have some brunch.
Right? Yeah. I would love that.
Deborah Mooney brunch. But wait.
I'll bring the champagne.
But also, Gladiators, I just want to let you know real quick. Next up, episode 214, which is called Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. We don't remember what it's about, but don't worry. We'll be watching it to make sure we do remember and can talk to y'all about all the behind the scenes goings on. Thank you for listening. And one more massive, massive round of applause for the one and only Deborah Mooney, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest of the great.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for joining us on Unpacking the Toolbox. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, share with your friends, rate, or leave us a review.
Scandal is executive produced by Sandy Bailey, Alex Alche, Lauren Homan, Tyler Klang, and Gabrielle Collins. Our producer and editor is Vince DiGianni, with music by Chad Fisher.
Scandal is a production of ABC Signature, and you can follow along by rewatching Scandal on Hulu.
Unpacking the Toolbox is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, visit the iHeartRadio app or anywhere you subscribe to your favorite shows.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.